Okay, so we're talking here with Pastor Jeff Hubing, and we're on lesson three. We're going to talk about putting tongues in its place. Jeff, take it away.
One of the things that's most interesting to me about 1 Corinthians 14 is, in spite of all that I'm saying about the value of tongues and how much it edifies the believer, it seems so much striking to see Paul saying that he would much rather that the Corinthians spoke other kinds of spiritual speech instead of tongues when they gather together in public. And the same verse that we talked about previously, where Paul says, you know, that he wants them all to speak in tongues, he follows that up very quickly by saying, but I would rather have you prophesy. And in point of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and in verse 8:19, Paul actually says something striking. He says, I would rather speak five words with my mind than 10,000 words in a tongue. This is such a striking statement. 10,000 words. That's a lot, Brian. I don't know if you've never timed yourself saying 10,000 words, but I'm guessing it would take quite a while. But Paul says, I would rather say five words to you that you can understand than 10,000 words to you, no matter how much spiritual content they may contain, that you cannot understand. And so it seems fairly clear that from Paul's point of view, it's not appropriate just to go off speaking in other tongues when we're gathered as a community, and that even a short sentence of five words that are understandable is much to be preferred. In fact, the Corinthians were struggling with something that you and I might see in our own churches in the 21st century. And by that I mean that for many people, going to church is still very much a me-centered experience. I mean, I've been in pastoral ministry for around 20 years, and I can't tell you the number of people that have come to me and expressed something like that they were going to leave their church or my church or another church because they weren't getting fed or because they weren't getting blessed by the service or the gatherings of that particular community. And I can't help but reflect that, you know, the same kind of problem was being experienced in the first century here in Corinth. That is, that going to church was based on what I get out of it, or going to church was based on what I could do, how I could serve, or how I could participate in satisfying my own sense of purpose or meaning. Well, Paul challenges the Corinthians. He says, you're not here necessarily for yourself. You're here for others. The Spirit gave you gifts not just so that you could do what you're called to do, but so that the church could be edified, could be built up, could be encouraged by what you're bringing to the table, and vice versa. You could be encouraged by what others are bringing to the table. So in their practice of spiritual gifts, Paul says, you have to grow up. You have to learn. You don't have the gift of tongues just so that you can prove how spiritual you are. If you have a gift, your gift is for the benefit of others. So gathering as the church demands a perspective that says, I am not here just to get fed. I'm not here just to get blessed. I'm here to feed. I'm here to bless. I'm here to serve. I'm here to build. And if the spiritual gifts are looked at in that context, then the gifts that Christ gives have to be put on display for the benefit of others. Church has to be centered first in Jesus Christ, and second in how we can care for, serve, bless, and edify other people.
Yeah, this is kind of the heart of Jesus' answer to the Pharisees when he explained what the greatest commandment was. It's to love God, love your neighbor, and love yourself. And so you're third on the list, but yet in consumeristic churches, we tend to put ourselves first on the list.
And it shouldn't surprise us. I think all the great ideas Paul has in his letters ultimately come from Jesus himself and the gospel as it's revealed in God's Son. So there, I'm sure there's an organic connection there and probably something Paul sought to work out in his own life as well as in these churches.
And so then you say, then in terms of this public expression of tongues, oral communication should be understandable to others.
Yeah, believe, of 1 Corinthians 14. The reason tongues is less appropriate for a public gathering for Paul is not because it's not legitimately a spiritual gift. He certainly accepts that it is. But the reason tongues is less valuable to Paul is, again, because it lacks the ability to edify others, unless it's interpreted. But his preference for prophecy comes out of the expectation that prophecy is in the language that the people understand. That is, it's direct communication that people can appreciate. They can receive a message in their own language and understand its significance. That's why it's so valuable. People can understand it. They can be challenged. They can be encouraged. They can be comforted. They can be directed by the Lord through his people to growth in God. And this is his value system as it pertains to gathering as the church. So it's not like Paul writes off speaking in tongues and says, hey, you're wasting your time. It's not the Spirit. It doesn't do anything for you. Instead, Paul says, you misunderstand the purpose of this gift because you misunderstand the purpose of the gathering. If you could realize how important it is when you gather to serve and build and bless one another, then you'd reconsider the way that you're making use of this good gift of God. I think we all know that we can use good gifts in a wrong way with a negative result. We could talk about any example in our lives and say, you know, this is something good, but I took it to an extreme, or I didn't use it correctly, or the end result was negative. I think this is what Paul's saying. They have a good gift in speaking in tongues, but they're using it incorrectly. And as a result, they're not lining up with the desires of the Spirit. They're not lining up with the value system of Christ. So they have to adjust. They have to reconsider. They have to rethink. And once they get a handle on the Spirit's priorities, then all the Spirit's gifts can be put to the best possible use, and great fruit can come of it in the church.
Okay, so then is it ever okay to speak in tongues in church?
That's what we're going to look at when we pick up with our next